Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I am Madeline.
And if you're watching this, you need to come to the Snares Tour in Australia. We are coming to Melbourne, Brisbane, and Sydney. The days inch closer and closer. You need to be coming and seeing us. It kind of just struck me that this video might be coming out after tour is over. So if it is, thanks for coming. But if it's not, we're going to come see you! Evolutionofsnake.com for tickets. And, you know, chats and reacts are popping up. At one point or another, you need to be there. I know you want to.
Exactly.
Money, please.
Come.
Money, please, come. To come see show.
Come.
Money, please.
Come.
Come on. Come all. It's happening again, which is a great segue into today's episode, which is we are creating an imaginary tortured poets department tour. You may remember this concept from creating a Las Vegas showgirl residency for the life of a showgirl. So we decided, how hard could it be to just take that and make a tortured poets department tour? Chat.
Anybody else cheering in the audience? Anybody else cheering in the audience? Mm-hmm. I wasn't.
It was
cheering
really difficult.
Listen, here's the thing about tortured poets I discovered. So when I was making mine, I said, this is in a universe where the Eras Tour has happened, but Tortured Poets wasn't on it. Every other era has gotten its moment in the universe where Tortured Poets Tour happened before Showgirl ever happened. So we don't need to be doing Love Story, seen it. We don't need to be doing We Are Never Ever, seen it. There's literally, except for a couple of mashups in mine, there are no other songs except for Tortured Poets songs. And you know what I discovered? There's a reason why Tortured Poets will not be toured, at least not that way, because you shouldn't do that. Nobody wants to go see the tortured poets. I mean, we do, obviously.
Well, we do.
As a concept, it was honestly like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like killing my darlings at the same time as I'm forcing my darlings to make sense over and over again. I was so committed to my vision. And in the end, I think my vision kind of fell apart. But at the end of the day, it's still going to be beautiful and it'll never happen. And that's why it's a good thing, because it's fake. Thank God.
Also had this same realization as you, because Tortured Poets is not like a stadium tour show. It's not that kind of album. And yet I was like, I'm determined to create something that will in fact go in a stadium. I think that people might ask for their money back if they're not Swifties and they came to my show. They would be like, what the hell? Because I don't think I have a single like really big hit or popular song. I don't even have Fortnite in my set list. So
neither do I. That was a conscientious decision. I said no Fortnite. Sorry. Not at my show.
No, I said it's too basic. And Tortured Poets is not basic. That's the whole thing. And the point of giving Tortured Poets its moment is that, you know, the distillation that we got on the Eras Tour, I can't complain. She did a really good job of like nailing it down to what the best show moments from that record are. But I guess what I was trying to display was Tortured Poets moments throughout the eras as well. So I completely, again, ditched the notion of being attached to anything that people know or care about, and instead was like, thematically, what do I want? And what would sound good? And I came up with a couple of mashups that I really enjoy. So now, Madeline, if you wouldn't mind turning your attention to the Pinterest board that I sent
you. I'm opening it. Let me get my first look.
She's opening it up. Take a little scroll.
Oh, I'm cheering.
Put it on the screen. Do you see the vision?
I'm seeing it all.
So
I'm seeing it all.
It's kind of like a haunted lover house concept for the stage. It is a three-story gothic mansion. And the show transpires on each level. There's three levels. There's a grand staircase in the middle. And the last part of the show, she breaks free of the house and starts running around. So that is the concept of the show. It's obviously Victorian inspired.
Period.
There's a lot of decay. I put in a lot of like scary Victorian costumes. I think that we need to have a veil, even though that's like the worst possible thing you could wear at a concert so people can't see your face. But I like the screens. I liked the kind of like projection on the lace. I think it's all very macabre. And that is the vibe that I was going for.
No, I'm seeing the vision totally. I'm loving the veil. Listen, Mama likes a statement. And people are saying, well,
that's how you start the show.
It's cunty. Sometimes you do something because it serves cunt. There's a veil. It means something. Either you get it or you don't.
Not everyone's going to get it. Not everyone is going to get it. And that's fine. But the people that do will. And I guess my central idea was like the beginning of one heartbreak to the beginning of another heartbreak.
Period.
So we have like, it starts with the end of Joe, I would say. We have four acts here. And I would say act one takes place in the attic. So she's in her veil. She's pacing mm-hmm. around. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, old trunks, things, paper flying around. It's, I'm telling
the
you,
concept
that, like, it's Halloween.
The curtain raising at the Torture Poets door, and she's got a veil over her face. I'm saying cunt for the
yes.
ages.
No, cheer.
I get it, but it cracks me
cheer.
Up.
And Taylor, it's like, so her cunty. Dream is to be a Victorian woman. So I'm leaning into her, Miss Havisham, I'm jilted, I've been left alone. Except she's not jilted. She's in white because she's happy and she's really cheering underneath because it's over with Jover. Jover is where it begins. And the first opening number is So Long, London. That's
oh,
how we open
say
the show.
It. We open the show with the bells of London ringing out. Oh, I'm hearing it. No, I'm seeing the vision.
Do you see it?
I'm seeing it. Immediately,
and
I'm
all the
saying,
windows are stained glass windows.
This would never pass through, like, the second, like, Taylor brings it and they go, this
no.
isn't happening. But
they
I'm
go, this
saying,
is crazy.
Let it run. I want to see the through to the end.
Let
So
it
Long, London
go.
Opener. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so
yep.
much.
Yep. And you know, I think we could really do a lot with building the production of that song up into being
yeah.
an opener.
Oh, yeah.
I really do
yeah.
think that it could crescendo in mm-hmm. a very Gorgina way. But she's in her veil. You can kind of see her veil through. You see her face through the veil. You know, it's up on the big screen.
Yes.
And then after that, so we're still in the thinking about escaping part, right? Like, mm-hmm. I want to get out of this fucking house. I've been in this house for way too long. I need to get out of it. So we go into Guilty as Sin slut mashup.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. If they call me a slut, maybe it'll be worth it for once. How can I be guilty of sin?
What
if
they
call
me a slut? If they call me, exactly. If they call
what
me
if he's
a slut,
written slut on my upper thigh,
sin?
Only in my mind?
These episodes are always so demented. What if he's written slut on my upper thigh? Just take that one out of context. Let's put
what
that.
If?
Let's put that on TikTok.
Yeah.
What if?
What if? But if? We ask these questions that everybody else is too scared to ask. What
mm-hmm.
if?
They don't want to know the answer because they're scared. And then at this point, all the random paper that's around the room starts flying up. It's flying up. It's flying
yes,
up.
Yes,
and
yes.
the staircase from the attic appears and she's doing Fresh Out the Slammer. The veil
yes,
lifts.
Yes. 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 The veil lifts. Mm-hmm. Now, pretty baby, I'm in no, I'm seeing the vision.
It's
I'm
so
seeing it.
It's dark and demented.
It's dark
and
demented.
You know what? It had
and
to be
done. And we like
done.
It. Mm-hmm.
Guilty as Sin and Fresh Out the Slammer back to back. Like, that's my preferred listening experience of those songs. Mm-hmm. So it just had to make its way into the tour. So then the second act is the bedroom, the private rooms, sex, intimacy, things no one saw. But it's really, she's imagining sex with someone else. It's not sex that has happened with
right.
the person that she was dreaming about in the attic. Now she's like, ooh, what could it be like with someone else? And we start with, you know, after she comes down in her veil, she changes into something a little more comfortable. And it's not your little slutty midnight's bodysuit. No, it's not. It's a Victorian nightgown.
Of yeah. course it is. And that's something mm-hmm. that she would 100% put on and walk around on stage.
100, like what she's 100%. Wearing in the Cardigan music video. That,
yes.
Basically
mm-hmm.
that. And she starts with False God. Mm-hmm. The bedroom is like a little salon. There's a little poof with her vanity table and all the perfumes and a saxophonist in the corner. And she's doing do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yes!
And then she does that. We love it. Everybody's clapping and cheering. Then she climbs into the four-poster bed, which kind of now angles around to face the audience. And what does she perform? Mm-hmm. So It Goes.
Yes! And the crowd goes wild. Nobody stops
the crowd.
Screaming for the entirety of the song. It's the greatest performance ever mm-hmm. that's been done in the history of the world. And all of a sudden, So It Goes number one on iTunes.
And many people were saying that.
And many,
many
people
were
asking
it. And cheering and begging for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to give it to the people. So she does that. It's like a writhing moment. We don't have dancers, but I think we can do a lot with, like, if there's like curtains on the four-poster bed, they're billowing, they're blown open. There's a lot of wind and things flying around in this show. So she completes that. We love it. We slay. And then she kind of walks to the other side of the room, or the hall of the house. We're in a different room now. And this is where she's getting ready to go out. So she's the nightgown's off and she's doing her like cunty little, you know, I don't know, corset, little waist thing to getting ready, getting dressed. And we do dress and I don't want to live forever. Yep.
Exactly. And many people are talking about it. Dress and I don't want to live forever. That's real.
It is real. And I thought that actually a sub that I had here was, it originally was dress and I'm going to get you back, but we're not quite at the I'm so mad at you part yet.
Period. No, I'm seeing the
vision.
We're
at the, this is doomed and I want to die, but I am horny. That's kind of where we are. And then she finally, before she goes down, downstairs is like where the ballroom is, where she entertains, where the people come into the house. She's leaving her private moment now. And she does for a little brief memento, treacherous.
Ooh, that just gagged me. Who?
Who?
That, if I was in that audience and I hadn't seen the show yet, if she started treacherous after everything that just happened, I think I would literally die of shock right then and there. I'd be like, oh, treacherous. Now, let me ask you a question. Is it treacherous, like OG treacherous, or are we making it freaky?
We're going straight into two headlights shine through the sleepless night as she approaches the stairs.
Period.
Just that part.
Okay, no, I'm seeing it.
It's like a transition-y moment. It's not like the full song.
Right.
Then we're on the grand staircase. We're on the grand staircase and she kneels down at the top of the staircase. And we start with snow on the beach. Just a little bit of snow on the beach. A little bit of snow on the beach. Now you wait. Aurora Borealis.
Listen, I'm with you. I'm with you.
And what happens? A beam down bad.
You are cooking in ways that have never been cooked. The kind of oils and spices that you have in your pot are unheard of before. No, this is delectable. Snow on the beach into down bad would cause so many mental breakdowns. It's not even funny. Then they'd understand.
It caused me one when I was thinking about it. And also, it's understand. Down bad in full. Just by the way.
By the way. Just so
there's
you know.
No, I love you. It's Mm-mm. ruining my life. Welcome no. in my down bad.
Not here. 100%.
Down bad I'm at the you. Beach. Mm-hmm. Down bad at the beach. And then, you know, now this was kind of randomista. So I'm trying to pick up the pace a little bit here. We're trying to get it a little more like dancing a little adjacent. Then we have Maroon.
Dancing adjacent, a little midnight.
She's coming down the stairs.
A little midnight moment. No, I'm seeing it.
She's loving thinking.
It.
She's ruminating. And then we get into Who's Afraid of Little Old Me and Father Figure mashup. We don't know how it's
going
to work.
That's crazy.
We didn't put that much thought into it.
And we don't have to ask those questions. That's the thing. How is it going to mash up? Not my business. What is she going to? Not my business. What's it going to sound like? Not my business. It's in a totally different key. Not my business.
I'm the thinker, not the doer.
Yeah, we're the creatives. We say, this is what I want, and people make it happen. Mm-hmm. Now what?
And the windows are starting to break. People are scared. People are really scared of this. They're scared of Father Figure. They're scared of Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. And I think that we have to end this with a true wallop. And we're going to go into Wonderland. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Well, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wonderland would absolutely have to be there. In this kind of a set, it's like you have to do a Wonderland memento because we found Wonderland. You and I got lost in it.
This is the reality. The reality is sinking in.
Yeah. We found Wonderland.
She's realizing that my life sucks and I want to die, basically. Yay! Slay!
Yay!
So then she's down. Now she's down on the final floor. And she's in, I want to say, a big ballroom. There's like a lot of extras and people around, but they're all sitting at like low candlelight tables. And there's like one table in the middle of the ballroom. She's surrounded by people, but at this table, it's just table for one. Kind of like the Begin Again set when she did the Paris performance of it. Table for one. Uh-huh. And she's got a little piano there and she's got a guitar. She's sitting here and the idea is, you know, alone in a crowded room. Everyone's around you. They're trying to talk to you or they're passing around like they don't even see you and you're sitting there rotting away and dying inside.
No, there's layers to this shit, man. There's layers to this shit and they're not going to get it. And that's what pisses me off the most. People are
Taylor
not going to get it. If this hit, can you imagine like this hitting TikTok.com out of context?
They wouldn't get it.
They wouldn't get it. They'd be like, this is really what you guys are paying money for? They do that already with the actual Eras Tour. And it's like, I'm paying money and I would pay more money to go see this version of the show too. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. And
The deep cut show.
The deep cut show.
The songs no one cares about show.
I think that in Taylor's career, at some point, she has to do a deep cut show like this one. I mean, she just has to.
100%. I mean, the catalog is there. There are so many songs that we just haven't worked with, which is why these episodes are so fun, because you can like think up things that would never be placed together before. So this is an acoustic set, obviously, and I think it has to start with, I can't take credit for this mashup because it already happened, but we need I Hate It Here in the Lakes. Thank you.
Oh, we do. Especially on the Tortured Poets stage, we have to have I Hate It Here in the Lakes because it says everything. It says the whole thing. That's it. They're definitely like a mission statement.
How can you do a mental breakdown section of the show without I Hate It Here in the Lakes?
You can't. It says everything that it needs to say. And thank God the crowd is going to be full of people who fucking get it.
Yeah.
I hate it here.
The
10
people that really
want to
see this
mind.
Show will be there.
Mm-hmm. Genius. Geniosity.
Period. Mm-hmm. Then I have another mashup. And at first I was like, this is crazy. But then I listened to the songs back to back and I was like, no, it's not. I'm a genius. Ivy and Back to December.
No, I'm seeing
it's the goddamn fight of my life. And yes. You started it. So yes. This is me swallowing my pride.
Exactly. And the thing about Ivy and Back to December is you immediately know how they're linked. Ivy, mm-hmm. Back to December, they're both taking place in the wintertime. Snow, mm-hmm. Icy cold. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Add it up in your head.
Great songs.
Great
beautiful
songs.
Beautiful girls.
Great song. Great gowns, beautiful gowns. No, I'm seeing it.
Both of those songs have not received their flowers either from Taylor or the fandom.
Properly. I agree, actually. Okay, she has done Ivy. I think she did it with Jack Antonoff as a surprise song. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. It was like part of a mashup, yep. Though, wasn't it? Or was it not?
I don't know. I don't know if she, even when it came to mashup time, Ivy was never really one that was a frequent flyer. I don't think that it
Which
got included that many times. And it shouldn't be, because let's not cut it up.
It always has this like quality to me when I listen to it where I feel like this is one of those songs that Taylor would be like, I love this song. This is one of my favorite songs. And yet... Mm-hmm. Where is she? We don't see her. Maybe she's saving it. I don't know. I keep telling myself, Evermore Long Pond Studio Sessions, it's not out of the question.
It's got to come. No, it has
it's
to
It's not
come.
Out of the question.
I'm so sick of living in a world without it. It's just not fair.
And I feel the same way about Back to December. Back to December, we always talk about how there are no more underrated Taylor Swift songs anymore. I think Back to December is fucking underrated. They're forgetting.
It wasn't underrated by us when Speak Now came out. It was definitely a fan favorite. We loved it when it came out.
Yeah.
But I don't hear people going crazy for this one. And I think it's like, it's one of her best I'm Sorry songs. There aren't that many.
I think it should have been, if I can speak, it should have been on the Eras Tour set list. And if it had been, it would have had a renaissance.
Say it.
Say it.
Say it. Say it,
say
please.
Because
they weren't writing for Enchanted like that before the Eras Tour.
No. Imagine her sitting down in one of those big Speak Now dresses at a piano. It's too gorgeous for words.
It's too beautiful. That's why she didn't do it. She knew that it would cause a quake.
She knew that it would be a collapse.
Mm-hmm. It would be a mental collapse for everyone. So then the last two songs of this section, and I want them done in full. No mashups. These ones need to be done in full. Nothing New and Mirror Ball.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Perfect. Nothing New and Mirror Ball back to back. This show, this is not your average show. This is for a certain kind of girly. It really is. Everybody watching
the mentally
this,
ill
you're probably
community.
Thinking, yeah, everybody who's watching this right now, the mentally ill community, everybody wants to come and see this show. Everybody who's actually like a normal person out there, they wouldn't pay for the show in a million years. But we know the truth.
And that's your cross to bear. That's none of my business if you don't want to come to the greatest show ever made.
Nothing new. Is it Nothing New into Mirror Ball or the other way around?
Mm-hmm. Nothing New into Mirror Ball. This could just be called the I Hate Myself and Want to Die section. I hate it here at the lakes, Nothing New and Mirror Ball.
Absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Well, yes. Well, yes. At the Tortured Poets show, we needed that. It's an interiority. We needed to hear the collapse. So then I decided it's time to get a little randomy stuff. And we need to pick up the pace a little bit. Because I was like, I need to give the girls some moments to whip their hair. And Taylor needs a moment to whip her hair, quite frankly. She doesn't do it often enough. We don't get the headbanging anymore.
No.
So I wanted to pick songs that would force her to do it. And so this is like the final section of the show. She's breaking out of the house. There's a big long catwalk and she's running around. She's being crazy. Okay, the house is falling down. It's collapsing. We have Haunted.
Yes, can't go turn back now. Haunted, another underrated song. It's Speak Now. That's what it is.
If you've never seen the Speak Now tour version of Haunted, that is exactly what I'm envisioning for this performance.
I will never forget the way that she climbed into the bell at the end of the show. At the end of the song, I mean. It absolutely,
it was crazy.
I used to watch it over and over again. That was cinema. Speak Now is like honestly one of the most underrated tours now too. It was so theatrical and over the top. And I really feel like it's because the album was. Haunted is such a crazy, like, Evanescence-ass song. And it, like, it would fit so perfectly on a Torture Poets set list. It just fits right in. Nobody would even blink. They'd be like, yeah, of course we're doing Haunted. Of course.
It's one of a kind in her catalog, really. Like, there isn't another song like Haunted. And when people say, where's the pop rock, Taylor? I mean, she kind of did it
there
all.
It
she did everything she needed to do on Haunted.
And thank God. And thank God she did. Absolutely gorgeous song.
And
I love that.
Thank God. Then I have Death by a Thousand Cuts. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Full
yes.
production
yes.
moment.
Yes. Yes.
Head
yes.
banging.
Head banging. Honestly, one of the great losses of Loverfest is that we didn't get to have Death by a Thousand Cuts live. We got it as a surprise song, but I would have really liked to have seen the full production value of Death by a Thousand Cuts.
She needs to just share the fucking plan. Can you just give us the blueprint of what it was going to be?
Just tell us. What is there to lose at this point? We want to know.
It was probably me opening number, and we would have been like, thanks, next.
Me,
no Cruel Summer on the set list. She's so crazy. Then I was like, okay, what can I put in here that people might know? Like, I have to give the people one sort of sing-along song towards the end of the show. And I came up with, Is It Over Now? Because it's a haunted song. She's
it
haunted.
Is. There's something very dark about that song. There's something very, very
she
dark.
She made it onto
on
my Vegas
song.
Set list too.
Oh,
I can't live
she
without
sure
her.
Did she sure did. There's something so I understand why I got left off of 1989. I always put it in my winter playlist, which people take umbrage with because it's a 1989 song, but I think it's about the end of the relationship. It's like about how All Too Well is about fall, but it ends in the winter. That's kind of what Is It Over Now is to me. It's like the summer, the album takes place in the summer. And I guess you could say maybe the fall, but it ends in the winter. And that's when she's really getting over it and wondering, is it over now? Remember when you hit the brakes too soon? Anybody?
Well, I was about to say, those two songs are very winter coded to me.
Yes.
They're very December listening moments to have. And so after that, I mean, the kind of theory that I'm working with this show is that it's like endless heartbreak. It just starts again. Like it restarts. Whenever it ends, it starts again. And so she returns back to the house that's in cinders now. I don't know how, again, not my problem. And what's still there is her seat and her chair in the ballroom where her guitar and her piano are, because they will never die. You can't burn those away. Love for the music is everlasting. And she sits there and she picks up her guitar. Friends break up. Friends get married. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Say it. Tell them. Inform
and
them. Friends break up. Friends get married.
That's the closing number of the show, but then, of course, we have an encore. Can you guess what the encore is after all of this that we've been through?
Clara Bow?
But Daddy, I Love Him. Screaming.
No, and you know
she
what?
She comes
I
like a banshee from hell, barefoot,
no, I see
gown
the vision.
Askew, veil somewhere to be found.
Yep.
She's screaming and running across the stage like she's being pursued by a demon.
And the thing about the way that this is presented is it's so fucking diabolically insane. She looks like a fucking demented, crazy person doing it too. Mm-hmm. I say, give us more. Encore! Encore!
Thank you. Thank you. I think it would serve. I would love to see this show.
I would love to see the show. Honestly, like, I would love to see a show by Taylor, kind of like our Vegas residency and kind of like these ones where it's like things that we've never, ever, ever seen her do before. Creepy, dark, really low tempo, depressing. I think we as a people have earned the right to see a show like that. I think we have.
We mostly get cutesy and cunt serve. And I'm saying, I love that.
I love it.
Let's take a sabbatical from that, though.
I do think that at some point in her career, like as we get into maybe 10 years down the line from right now, one day we will have the freaky, deaky, creepy Taylor Swift Las Vegas residency. Never say never, girls. Never say never.
I hope so.
I see the vision.
She can't even pick her five favorite songs, though, so I don't know how she's going to do that.
But what is the one song? Was it Mirrorball that she said? Oh, I love
Mirrorball. Yeah.
period. And that's exactly what you should have said. And all too well said. I would, if it was like a career spanning, but not the Eras Tour kind of a show, I really wonder what deep cut she would pick. Like, that keeps me up at night wondering what she would
pick. What are her favorites? I mean, yeah. I think we need to mine through the Eras Tour and be like, where did she say this is my favorite? But I think she said that about almost every song that she chose.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Well,
all right. Thank you so much for sharing your views with everybody in the world. That was beautiful.
My pleasure.
Everybody cheered. I am happy to report that while we did kind of on a few things, we kind of had similar ideas about what songs from other eras would belong on this kind of a set list, on a Torture Poets set list. There were a couple of times where we aligned on that. Otherwise, I'm happy to report we have built two totally, completely different shows. So this is a treat for the girls. They are totally, totally different. It's hilarious to me. So
I'm looking at your Pinterest board and the duck.
You're confounded, aren't you?
Is killing me. Because I know exactly what you mean. No, I know exactly what you mean. The duck makes total sense to me.
Just wait until I get to it. There's one song in particular where I was like, the only thing that's coming to my mind is Sexy Daffy Duck. And you will understand it when it comes in. Okay, so here's what I was thinking. So when I first started doing it, my first idea was like, oh, I want to do a totally black and white show, and that's going to be my theme. I could not do it. I couldn't do it. It doesn't interest me. Mama Needs Color. I don't care what Taylor's thinking. I don't care what the theme of the album is. I can't do an entire hour and a half, 2 hour show in just black and white. I also hated that the theming of like Torture Poets on tour seemed to be road. Like the transitional video is
literally road.
Like from the Fortnite video. So I was like really struggling to like come up with my own kind of like, this is the total theme of the tour. So I kind of just went with vintage, not even like era specific. I wasn't doing the 20s. I wasn't doing the 40s. I wasn't even doing 80s. I was just doing vintage, whatever that means in any given moment. I don't know. I was all over the place. I was pulling from all different kind of reference points. And I kind of wanted to base it around the female rage on Torture Poets, her place in the industry, women's place in the industry, what the industry does to women. Of course, it's not like a perfect, you know, rah, rah, rah. There's quite a bit about relationship breakdown still, but I think I still get my point across about the female rage and this being, like she described Torture Poets said, I was going to say a goth punk moment of female rage, but that's not what she said. Female rage is a musical. That's what she said. She's always saying female rage something, and she's right.
She's rageful. I love the references that you picked here. Britney Spears' Lucky music video, crying in her bed. I get it. Addison Rae doing Diet Pepsi. I get it.
There's something there. There's something there. Mm-hmm. So for the stage setup, I'm not smart enough to come up with like a stage shape or anything like that. Like, is there a B stage? Is there this? I'm not doing all that. But for the design, what I would liken this to the most, it's funny that we were just talking about it so much, the closest tour to this one, which isn't to say that they would be exact, the closest tour to this one, I think, would be Speak Now, in that I definitely want a grand staircase. I have to have a grand staircase. It is so important to the tone of the tour to have a grand staircase. She had a grand staircase on the Fearless tour too, but I'm talking Speak Now style staircase. I want to have a really big red curtain as well. And that was a thing on the Speak Now tour. I want it to be very dramatic and almost Baroque, but not like so Baroque that it's like Marie Antoinette. I just want it to be kind of like a reference point. So that's kind of like the general like theming of the staging. And it's funny that I said all that because the opener, if you can believe it, I know this is going to gag the girls all over the world. My opener is My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys. Now, hold on. Let me explain this. So for the opening tour video, I kind of imagined something like the Eras Tour intro with like the fading voices, but I wanted the fading voices to be saying, come one, come all, it's happening again. Like really eerie and creepy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's how we're leading into it. It's like a big crescendo moment. And then all of a sudden the curtain lifts. Oh, here we go again. It's genius. It's genius.
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. And
it's a great opening number.
It is. And I think the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I feel like this would be a top five contender if Taylor ever did make an actual Torture Poets set list. My Boy is a great opening number. It sets a tone. It's like up, mm-hmm. but it's still Torture Poets. Like, it's still downtrodden in its own way. So my idea for this performance, I was taking notes from two different places. First of all, the iconic NSYNC Bye 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 music video, Marionettes. So uh-huh. not so that's kind of the thing. And then also in Chicago, there's a number. I can't remember what it's called, but he, like, her lawyer is, like, controlling her like a dummy and, like, making her sing and stuff like this and, like, controlling her body and, like, moving her across the stage and all this other stuff. So those were kind of the two reference points. I want all the dancers to kind of be dressed up like dolls. I'm not sure what I want my doll, like, what the theme of the dolls to be. There was part of me that was like, I want it to be kind of low-key giving Barbie, but not pink. Does that make any sense?
I'm seeing the vision.
In order to give Barbie, I think a lot of people think it has to be pink, but I think there's lots of ways to code Barbie without it being pink, without it even
being
pastel.
Sabrina does it all the time.
So I was thinking maybe if all of the dancers were dressed up kind of like different jobs that Barbie has had and like different famous doll costumes. Does that make sense? So that it comes across as we are all toys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we are all toys on the stage right now. So that's kind of what's going on with that. And then when we get to the outro, just say I want them to be wheeling out a giant box, like a Barbie box, but instead of Barbie, it says Taylor. And I want the dancers to be forcing her into it. And she's fighting to not go into the box, but they force her into the box. And the song ends
with
her box. It is. It's fucked up. And they box her the fuck up. And she's very unhappily in the box with like the cellophane over it, locked up in her Taylor box. And that's how the song ends. But do you know where we go immediately from there? Because you know she's not staying in the box. We go right into But Daddy, I Love Him.
She's fighting. You can't keep baby in a corner.
At the start of the song, obviously, she's still in the box. All the dancers are kind of like, not taunting her, not quite like that, but they're not happy with her. And, you know, kind of like the townsfolk of the town being like, no, you can't do that. You have to do what we tell you to do. And like those kind of motions as she's like starting the song. It's not going to be the whole song because it's too long, but I'm imagining she's in the box, she's singing the song. And as we go through the song, especially when she's at the really big, like the bridge kind of, I don't cater to all these vipers. She breaks out of the box and she's free and she's out of the box and she's roaming around once more.
I love it. Excellent.
I love it. Gorgeous. It's absolutely delicious. But the thing about this is that right after this, the set has to change. It cannot look like this anymore. This isn't my business how they do it, how they do quickly.
No.
It's not my business. But I did come up with a good transitional video. And I kind of took notes from the Fearless tour because I think she really utilized the distracting people with a video on screen thing during the Fearless tour specifically. And for this one, I wanted it to be like a fake commercial about like buying your own Taylor, but like Barbie, but it's Taylor.
Oh, cute.
Yeah,
like Selena Gomez's stupid flop interlude about being perfect on I Said I Love You First.
Well, yeah, it's like, yes, like that. But yes, it would be like, oh, get your very own Taylor. She'll write a song about you. She'll be your best friend. She'll love you
until you
throw her away. Like all that kind of stuff. And it's like really cute.
Great.
And like just like really 90s like campy. And then that is what happens before the curtain raises once more. And it's a very dramatic, big curtain raise with like a live band kind of a sound like bum, 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 bum. And it's I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. And
well,
I'm saying for this one, we need a real showgirl outfit for this moment. I want it to be Vegas, like Vegas, Vegas, way bigger than she did it on the Tortured Poets set during Eras. She has a bigger budget. She has more time. I'm saying put on a costume, get the feathers out. I'm saying get on the staircase. I'm saying give us a Gentlemen Prefer Blondes moment and hit it. I'm saying showgirl 100%.
Coat, maybe a shrug.
Yes, she just shrugs off. As over the top as possible, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. I loved, for the record, the I Can Do It With a Broken Heart performance on Eras, but I think in this situation, it could be so much bigger because in my mind, her budget is $1 billion.
You're saying it could be crazy.
Yeah, I'm saying this is my fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So after this, you know, we do I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. It's such a big moment. Everybody's clapping. Everybody's cheering. Next, woo! I need you to walk with me on this one. I need you to really kind of take yourself to a place of,
okay,
I can see this happening.
Okay.
I want to do a sultry, jazzy, Vegas style rendition of Dress. I want it to be,
ooh,
slinky, yes, and sexy with like a saxophone kind of a moment, kind of like False God, but not as melancholy. I want it to be sexy. Like the first thing, this is sexy Daffy Duck. This is what I'm thinking of. This is where Dress comes into
play. Well,
this
is where the shrug comes off. The shrug.
Yes, this is where.
Drop to the floor.
She gives us a little peek of her back. She gives us a little Daffy over the shoulder moment.
Dress is that Daffy. Yeah.
She is. That is Dress, 100%. And also, like, I feel like I can really hear it as a slinky kind of almost Lana Del Rey style jazzy kind of a song. Just
a little breathless. She's got her falsetto going. You know what is an interesting reference point for that? I feel like, did you see the Onyx Hotel tour, Britney? She did Baby One More Time, ooh, and Oops in this cabaret lounge style in like a pink corset, kind of like that. I can see it.
You're reading my vision exactly. That is exactly the kind of thing that I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. Just sexing it up. Way, and it's like Dress doesn't need any help being sexier, but like I'm talking,
it could be livelier.
Sexy. Oh,
you're
yeah,
making it
for
a little,
sure.
A little boopity boop boop.
Boopity boop boop. Now, I'm thinking speakeasy. That's kind of the vibe I'm going for. And if we're thinking speakeasy, something immediately comes to the mind, at least from Torture Poets. I'm talking sexy, fresh out the slammer.
Yes!
I'm talking do it
and
sexy.
Everybody cheered! How are we doing it sexy? I feel like Fresh Out the Slammer is already sexy, so how are you sexing it?
Say it! Say it! No, I totally feel that. And my reference point, not to use Chicago again, but it's just such a good one, during the Cell Block Tango, that's that image of like the red light and the bars,
it.
The dancers there. There's something so very, very like sexy and sad about the concept of being sexy in prison. It's true. She was being sexy
it
in prison. That's what Fresh Out the Slammer was.
The Beyonce 50 Shades darker version of Crazy in Love. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where
I
she did
exactly
the exact same Chicago
about.
Thing. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Do it again.
Fresh Out the
do
Slammer. Let's do it.
Absolutely, Gorgina. So I want it to be very sultry, very romantic, and kind of tragic, but only because we know how it goes. The fade out that I have in mind for this song is like what she's doing, but it's going to be all right. I did my time. With a close up of her face behind the bars. Just very dramatic.
Poor girl.
It's so tragic. She's behind. She's
and
behind.
It is.
She's behind the bars and I am cheering like an MF-er. And that's kind of the end of that section. And then we have a transitional moment. I couldn't come up with a good enough like video or a good enough moment to kind of transition in. So just walk with me. Walk with me into the next part. We're going from Fresh Out the Slammer. Stage goes dark. Something happens. We don't know what. And then we go right into Guilty of Sin, IV, mashup with a car
yes!
on stage. The visions that
I'm
have been-
cheering. I'm
absolutely
cheering.
Gorgina.
Again, as you have noticed, Fresh Out the Slammer and Guilty of Sin, they're sisters. They have to be done sequentially in one way or another.
They do. And I honestly, it's like I tried to put it somewhere else. It doesn't make any sense anywhere else. Fresh Out the Slammer and Guilty of Sin.
Story.
Or vice versa. And that's why Florida pisses me off so much. Because she
stupid
ruins
bitch
the whole flow on the track.
Get her
list
out of here.
Nonetheless, my vision for this is that it's kind of like the way that the Reputation stage opened up really big. So it opens up really big so that the car can drive onto stage. I thought about adding Getaway Car into this moment, but like I couldn't do it in a way that I thought made sense. Even though it's like having a car on stage and not doing Getaway Car kind of feels sacrilegious. We're just going to rock. It's
but it doesn't
gorgeous
fit with the tone of the show. It doesn't.
It
the
doesn't
song doesn't fit. It just doesn't,
it doesn't
go.
Mm-hmm. So I cut it out, but it's a beautiful cherry red convertible. Taylor's driving. Of course, she's not really driving, thank God. It's being remote controlled somewhere by somebody under the stage. But she, halfway through the song, gets out to dramatically perform the rest of the song on top of the car, on the hood.
Yes.
On the hood of the car.
Yes.
Driving around.
Yes.
In kind of like, you know, those gowns that are like a corset, but the back is a gown, but it's not around the front. You know, it's like the sexy kind of nightgown style.
Yeah.
That's
like
what I'm imagining for this. Yes. Very, very sexy. On top of the car, writhing around on top. I couldn't find a good enough reference picture for what I was thinking because apparently people aren't driving cars onto stages all the time. Go figure. But this was my vision. And this is what I'm imagining. It's just driving on stage, climb on top, and yearningly perform Guilty as Sin. Is it too much to ask? I don't think it is.
No. What if he's written slut on my upper thigh? We know.
What if he's written slut? Only in my mind. Absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of imagining that this dress is going to be a quick change moment. It's kind of like the Wildest Dreams skirt on the 1989 tour. Like, it's something that can very quickly become a second outfit that comes right off so that she can hit us with style. Car still on stage.
Ah!
My reference point for this was Rihanna doing the Victoria's Secret fashion show. So sunglasses on, car in the background. I kind of want all her dancers behind her to be giving real catwalk. So think 1989 tour, but if it actually served.
With women.
With women and not with the random people from Friends and Ellen DeGeneres and, you know, all her supermodels and then Lena Dunham. Like, I want it to really be the
serve
of the century. Yes. Catwalk, style, sunglasses, car, just like sexy, kind of 80s style, totally glam. And that was just kind of, does it fit? That's for you to decide. And for me to say, yes, it does. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I wanted it. So I put it in.
Gorgina.
I think there is something Torture Poets kind of about style, if you think about it.
I'm thinking, and I agree, 100%. 100%.
So then she moseys on over to the far side of the stage for I'm Gonna Get You Back, So It Goes mashup.
Ah! I screamed and cheered. I paid $50,000 to see this one song. Yes! I'm Gonna Get You Back is the unsung diva of the Tortured Poets department. It offers us, it's the dress of Tortured Poets. Like, we need that. It's carnal. We need that moment of sexual sensuality. Thank you, Madeline.
I agree 100%. And mashing it up with So It Goes, it just makes sense. It just makes sense. And for this set, I kind of wanted it to be a mini kind of a dive bar set. I want it to be neon lights, dark, sexy, slinky little outfit. And I kind of was imagining
wet pussies
like
everywhere.
Exactly. Exactly. People are going to be leaving the seats wet behind them. I'll tell you that for free. And
period.
I was imagining it like the Red Tour performance of You Belong With Me, where it's really stationary. They don't move. Mm-hmm. They don't really dance much. It's very like hand choreography. I want them to be sequestered to like one area of the stage because they obviously have to be doing something with the set elsewhere. It's like redirection. We're just staying in this little dive bar. It's very sexy. It's very cute. And then the torture starts.
Then the torture starts.
The black dog. We're in a dive bar. We have
you
to
put
say,
me into a really low place.
You don't miss me.
Is the piano
the
behind
dog?
The bar? That would be really cunty.
I didn't even think of that, but yes. Let's just say for
she's going
purposes,
to serve a drink,
yep.
And she just
actually,
starts playing the black dog.
All of a sudden, she's hitting the piano keys back there. Exactly. And it's absolutely gorgeous. I imagine the song starting at the bar set and then slowly moving as like the song gets bigger and the full band comes in back to center stage for a big finale. Very little staging or props or dancers, just kind of like a really simple, good classic Taylor performance. And then from there, it's the perfect setup for Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. Now, I have to be honest with you. I personally couldn't think of anything better than what she already did on the Eras Tour set, with it being like a war, with there being a big drum line, with her getting murdered at the end. I was like, you know what? I kind of think she peaked. Like, I don't think we
fix
can get
the vocals
anything
and we're
better.
Good.
Yeah, if you fix like the way that she actually performed it, I don't think I can think of anything better than what she did. I love that performance. So I kept it kind of just the way that it was. I mean, she cooked. So what can I say? I agreed with her. We have to keep it that way. So she gets shot and dies just like on the Eras Tour set, and she has to be carted off stage. And then she comes back. And the set that I had in mind for this is something that I found on Pinterest. Tyler will put it up on the screen. It's like a bedroom, but it has these really long curtains. So you almost can't see her. But there's like a camera and maybe a cameraman in there with her filming her. So you can see her on all the big screens on a big bed, lots of pillows, white sheets, really simple, plain white outfit, just writhing around in the bed, performing a mashup of How Did It End and Down Bad. They're not ready.
I'm trying to walk with you.
No, she's not. They're not
struggling
ready.
To
not
see
even
how
Zach's
songs.
Ready.
I'm trying to picture
down
it.
Down bad mashup. Listen, close your eyes, take yourself there. Be at the show. You're watching her writhe around in the bed, in the sheets, white outfit, curtains billowing in the stage fans. Her face is on screen, tragedy.
Where do the songs overlap? How are they leading into
each
other?
I don't have to answer that question. Listen,
it's not a mashup. They're separate.
Sure. Yeah, let's say that. If you can't
get
there,
just imagine
that they're separate.
Then I understand completely. Yep.
If you can't get there, imagine they're separate. I feel like, can I imagine where they would overlap? No. But I think somebody else could.
Someone else could. That's not our job, again.
But I do think that there would be an alien spaceship. There has to be a beam, obviously, on the stage at some point, like beaming into the bed. I just really liked the idea of the bedroom scene and it being like all white. Something about that really gripped me. So
I like it.
There you go. So after that, obviously she gets her ass up. I don't know how to transition this. She'd have to change her outfit. There'd have to be some kind of a moment. But after this, set changes and we get into, and this is where people really need to walk with me. It's going to have to be tonally different. We're going to have to change the key of both songs to make this work. Who's Afraid of Little Old Me and Lucky by Britney Spears mashup. Walk with me. Walk. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
I'm walking.
It's there. It's there. And I can
see it. My feet are bleeding.
Like, obviously, we'd have to change the songs. I don't know if I would do maybe Who's Afraid of Little Old Me more like Lucky or Lucky more like Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. I'm not sure. Both of them I could see happening, but I want it to be just like that. Like the Lucky music video, like her outfit, that glam, but I want it to be darker and like angrier.
I like Who's Afraid of Little Old Me as Lucky.
Yes.
In that way. I think that that's a really fun way to do Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. Because you expect it to be like that. And it really is. Lucky is angry, but it's also heartbroken. So it adds another layer to Who's Afraid.
It just adds another layer. This is kind of like a really, it's not quite the finale. It's building up to the finale. I want it to be a really, really big stage moment. Lots of dancers paying homage, et cetera, et cetera. I can't stop thinking about it.
I
want it bad.
Thank you.
Why isn't it real? Why isn't it real? Is the only question.
And then we have a
10-minute
moment of silence for Britney Spears just because we love her
exactly.
And she deserves the respect.
Exactly. Exactly.
Get up out of your seat and shut the fuck up.
For my finale, there's two songs in my finale. And I knew when I was putting this together, Taylor would never do this. But I said, it's my party. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm going to make Taylor do what I want to do. So part one of the finale is Clara Bow. And for this one, I really was drawing inspiration from like Dreamcore and also Addison Rae Diet Pepsi. And for some reason, I couldn't get the thought of her wearing angel wings out of my head. I've never seen her do it before. I don't think she ever would. But there's something about angel wings during this particular performance and it being kind of religious. Not actually religious, but kind of like as religious as you would say that the My Tears Ricochet performance is. Like the walking, the very like dramatic, almost like
reverent.
Catholic outfits, like reverence, church, holy. I could see a veil being involved in this one as well. Angel wings and a veil, that would be really iconic. Just like very, almost like surreal, sort of like a TikTok video that you would see where you're like, "What is this a real place?" That's kind of what I want it to feel like. It's very like ethereal, heavenly, but there's something kind of dark about it as well. And I kind of wanted there to be like a march of some kind to kind of indicate during like a Catholic church ceremony, there's, you know, a moment where like doing the Eucharist and they do kind of like a march up to the front of the church. I kind of want it to be like that because I was kind of thinking like this could be about the way that Taylor Swift and other women in the industry are kind of given up as like offerings, so to speak. So that was kind of like the thing that I was cooking up in my brain. It's kind of demented, but the more I thought about it, this is probably my favorite moment in the show. That's not real and is never going to happen, but will only happen in my dreams. And then that goes directly into, if you can believe it, closing track. I'm sorry I'm attached to it. The alchemy. I love the idea of this being heavenly. Heavenly, like blue skies, clouds. She's still got her angel wings on. And I use the Truman Show ending because, of course, at the end of the Truman Show, he leaves and he like gives his final bow and then it's over. I don't know if you've seen the Truman Show. Have you?
No, but I know the concept of it.
So he leaves at the end and like now people don't get to watch his life anymore. And I really liked that concept of like it's heaven and she's got her wings on and she's leaving. And now she's not going to be this sort of like fishbowl Barbie anymore. And that's my show.
I'm struggling to understand the alchemy just from a sonic perspective as a closing number. I appreciate the sentiment. I love the setting.
I
would like to revisit Clara Bow. I love that. And I would love to see if the angel wings were like remote operated, if they could slowly rise up to you look like Taylor Swift in this light. We're loving it. They're like full blast.
Whoa.
Like they're slowly well, rising yes. throughout.
Anything's
well,
possible.
Yes.
Anything's possible in our minds.
In the dream world, in our fake reality, anything can happen. I love that. I tried to put Clara Bow into my show, but it just didn't work. I ended up thinking that it would just be kind of like a voiceover line at the end. You look like Taylor Swift.
Gorgeous.
I need to hear
absolutely
that live.
Gorgeous. We do.
The fact that it was in, that's what made me cry in the Torture Poets part of the documentary.
She didn't give
Wait,
us
she
enough.
Didn't get there, did she? She didn't get there.
She didn't give
she
us
did
enough.
You look like Clara
we need
Bow.
More. Give us more now.
Release the tapes. Less of Canceled, more of Clara Bow.
I think we made two beautiful shows.
Oh, I think that people would pay a lot of money to see these shows.
I think people would be opening their wallet. The way that people would be flocking to wherever these shows are being held is not serious. I was thinking as I was building mine, I was like, I feel like this has to be an arena tour. Good luck getting tickets, but it has to
Good
be
luck,
an arena
babe.
Tour. It has to be.
Mine's a stadium because I need a house. So it needs to be big.
Well, it needs
and the
to
house
be big.
Needs to burn down. Yeah, but period. I see this one is an arena tour because in an arena tour, you can make the whole space feel like a world.
Yeah. And I love that. And I miss that, if I may speak.
With the stadium tour, you're in like an open, you're amidst the elements, really.
And there's something very romantic about that. I like both. I like a stadium. I like an arena. I miss seeing Taylor in arenas is what I'd say. But obviously, beggars
That's
can't
never
be choosers.
Happened, yeah.
She can't do that. Maybe someday, you know, maybe someday down the line when she's not the most famous person.
Maybe
on
she flops.
Yeah,
and
maybe
we get back to our arenas.
The day where Taylor actually flops is a day where we feast. Where mm-hmm. we feast.
Because no matter what she does, I'm still here, bitch.
Exactly. You see how we're still here and we're not going anywhere? And that's on period.
And how that gets tested as of recent times. But anyway. You look like Taylor Swift.
We made something beautiful. You look like Taylor Swift in this light. We're loving it.
And if you love this, patreon.com/driftologist, because there's so much more where that came from. You want to hear dementedness? That's where it all lives. Goodbye.